You got a chance to go to the July meeting minutes?
Yes.
A motion to accept the July meeting minutes?
I'll make the motion.
Second?
Second.
And financials is usually if I pass it over to you.
Okay. And I, from what I remember, it was primarily Brenda saying, did everyone have a chance to go over the financials?
Yes.
Yes. Does anyone have any questions?
I do have a question. I do not expect you to have the answer to this at all. I was just looking at some of the property assessments and wondering, like, I know that we have discussed this in the past, but so the, specifically I noticed, like, so 2 Warren Street is one of the properties that we own, and it's, I think the assessment was like $3,000.
I have the same question. I mean, everything looked extremely low.
Yeah.
Is that why we're in the process of getting a new assessor to come in and look at the properties?
Maybe that is why we're in the process of that.
I think it's been years since they've been assessed. 2 Warren Street, is that the little park?
That's the like corner lot, yeah. I believe, of Warren in front.
Why are you worried about a low assessment? If it raises it, it just raises the percentage just off the tax roll.
True. I guess
no relation to the appraisal.
To the sale value.
The sale price, right.
Okay, so maybe I just don't understand the process well enough. I don't know. I guess I was just like, that can't be right.
That property is worth a ton of money.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's listed on our balance sheet as assets. So I mean, I understand the assets, like, it looks like you have more assets than what that totals out to. Right? Like hundreds of thousands more. But,
So, which I don't know how that affects anything either. I guess the implications of all these things are not totally clear. Right. But I don't know.
I'll give an update on new business when we talk about legal counsel. Getting new assessments because I know I spoke to Dan this morning actually, and he has some ideas.
Dan Hubble?
No, Dan Chasinski.
Oh, okay.
He'll be taking on some of this work for us.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's no other questions.
I looked at our audit fee, and it was in the range of like $23,000. That just struck me as high, and I was just curious, like, what firm we're using, if we've had a good experience with that auditor. Just by comparison, the organization that I run has a larger budget. Our audit fee annually is about $14,000.
Huh.
And I think that the financials are similarly or more complex financially, so that could be worth looking into, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me that.
Well, there's different, because it's a municipality related, there's different rules for what they have to file. And that's actually low from what we had in the past, but it's worth looking into all the time. And not a lot of auditors want to do it.
Just because it's like a particular specialty in a form of audits.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm just curious, because I think it could be a good time to get competitive quotes, because we were paying a huge amount for a long time, somewhere in the range of 20 to 25. And when we started shopping around, we found a much better fit for us, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things I think it's easy to overlook on a financial statement, and you can usually do better if you shop around with it.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the outcomes of the conversations, but I know we have discussed it in previous times, like whether there's a different, whether we should get bids or something. And I believe Brenda maybe did a, I'm pretty sure she did a little search, but maybe not a larger search.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd be down that we should do that as well. I support that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to help with that.
Any other questions on financials?
Do we need to do a roll call or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
To approve the bills.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, old business. ADLN program updates.
Hey, everybody.
Okay, so
starting off with Huts and Roots. I think Dave is on vacation, so this data is 2 weeks old, but we have 55 families been helped total for the whole program. We have 27 families who have scheduled subsidies for the month of August. We have $17,000 remaining that has not been committed, so that's not counting the August payments. So $17,000 left, so still taking new clients, but Dave and his team are tracking that so they don't overcommit anything. So far, it seems from like our outreach team that most people who've been interested have not been in Hudson. They're like in Greenport or Claverack, or like they want to move to Hudson. So it seems like we've been reaching people who in Hudson, but we'll keep advertising. And I know with the moratorium ending in August, we might have some new interested people. We're talking to DSS to try and see if we're missing anything. so we have a little bit of money left there. The Housing Trust Fund, I've been in a lot of conversations with different other housing trust funds around the region and trying to get just different ideas for governance models because Hudson is kind of a unique city. So I have three options that I'm going to kind of fill out a proposal and send to ADLN committee and y'all so you can get some feedback on which way you want to go. And then in terms of outreach for getting the public involved and aware, HCHC just has to sign the contract. We had our attorney look over all the conflict of interest pieces, so that's all ironed out. So you can also expect at the September meeting that there'll probably be an invoice for HCHC's consultant payment. So they'll be doing outreach work with us in terms of surveys and some pop-up events and public meetings to help the public know what this is and get some input in terms of like what uses they want the fund to be used for and like let them know about board opportunities in the future. And I'm also working on a revenue study, so talking with Heather and the council as ad hoc committee, so looking at potential revenue sources. So that's the trust fund. For the organizing fellowship, the application is up. So HCHC posted it last week. The city posted it this week on our media. We've been getting a decent amount of applications. So throughout August, by the end, we will accept our finalists, and then the organizing fellowship will begin in October. The affordable housing development plan, we had our monthly check in with Joe's team on Friday. They are on schedule, maybe a little bit ahead of schedule. They have basically identified like 6 or 7 sites that they think are good spots for potential affordable development. And they are, their next step, they're working on creating like potential RFPs that we can use and develop our checklist to really help us like not just have potential sites, but really actually connect to getting development happening. So they are on schedule with that. Other than that, we are on target with all of our grant reporting and compliance. We submitted all of our quarter two stuff mid-July. Financials are looking good. And then I'm working on other pieces of implementing the strategic housing action plan. So just looking at, you know, including our zoning piece and different grants we can get for rental rehab programs and other components.
That was a beautiful update.
Mm-hmm.
receive support from the...
For Heads and Roots.
Oh, yeah.
So for the month of August, right now we have 27 scheduled payments for the entire program since it began in late March. We have had 55 families.
Was there a goal in the, like, at the start of the grant about how many people it reached? And I guess where are we in comparison?
So the goal is 20 families.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you surpassed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And before we were doing some more of like back rents and we did a couple of security deposits. August is pretty much all like monthly, just like help with monthly rent. One thing that has shifted, I think, where the program began is trying to kind of reach people who maybe didn't qualify for other rental assistance programs. And so that was what some of the back rent was helping out with. And as like the pandemic and things have shifted, we've kind of changed who's been interested.
Yeah. And is this grant renewable? I mean, like, at the end of this, is there an opportunity to potentially apply for another one? I mean, based on like how successful it's been?
Yeah. So from this particular like source of money for the anti-displacement grant, no. Have been talking to everybody. Delgado's office, looking at Dee's office, like different funding sources that are out there. And then also talking, we have like two, so there's two part-time case managers that work with each family who are part of Hudson Roots. And so they're going through a whole like kind of health screening process, but also trying to work with them to like have a plan so that when this money runs out, they're not like out in the street, but actually like it's helping them stay in their home. And so I think there's possibilities in terms of like, there are things that are out there that can like beef up what we're doing.
Yeah.
Haven't found them yet.
I see, yeah.
Part of the tricky thing too is that a lot of people, like customers is much easier to access than a lot of DSS services, but DSS does have resources. So maybe this is a matter of like, how can we use what DSS has as resources but make it more accessible? And like, if people have gotten a good reputation with Hudson Roots, but DSS has maybe a less friendly reputation, maybe how can we bridge that with the ones that DSS already have? So that's kind of one where my mind's going.
Yeah. And when you're talking about like revenue sources, you're exploring things that can complement those more, like, I guess, traditional income sources for this kind of program.
Yeah, what's nice is that like this grant was so free of strings, and so that let us be help reach people who normally get turned off in all the different typical processes. So then they also get the trade-off. If that we get other funding, then we might get more strings attached.
But if we have a plan, I mean, since we have a program already operating, it might actually be more possible to kind of shape the funding source to what we're already doing.
Yeah, and this could be something the Housing Trust Fund serves. Like, the volume might not be as high once the pandemic ends, right? But if we could have X amount of the Housing Trust Fund, and that's what, you know, people vote they want, then it could be a good emergency assistance program to continue.
Thank you.
And if you know of any funds out there,
I'm always having to brainstorm about that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I'll try and chase them down.
Yeah. So. Definitely.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah.
All right, the discussion on adding an ADL and number to the board. We'll pass that to Rebecca to make this one go.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a powerful component of fulfilling the HCDPA mission, which is to serve the low-income residents of Hudson. And, you know, it seems like the anti-displacement effort, even though, like, it's funded by this specific grant, but it's a kind of an ongoing need, obviously, that the city has and can be, you know, once the housing fund, I think we might be dropping the word trust from it just to avoid confusions, because so that it's just a housing fund, is going, that can provide ongoing anti-displacement support. And so, you know, Yeah, I think that would be a really smart thing to add to HCDPA. I've just actually been sitting here making a list of some of the initiatives that I think are really, like, a lot of cities have a couple of different things. They have, for example, a rental registry, and that would be like an important anti-displacement effort, I think. I've also been thinking about a displacement registry, which would be, because like the what you're talking about with Hudson Roots, you know, that's been this question since we developed the program, is like, and how to deal with the fact that many, many residents of Hudson have already been displaced to Catskill, Philmont, Greenport, Albany, you know, like is there a way to actually create, like, at the very least, a history of that displacement, although, like, we already have these oral histories that we used a lot in our program development of how that's happened over the last 10, 15 years, but then to really try to understand the scope of, like, who doesn't live here anymore, you know, and what that looks like, and what has been the, I feel like that would be a very significant thing, especially as more affordable housing is created and there is preferential placement for people who have been displaced, you know. So anyway, those are just some thoughts about why it might be useful to have an anti-displacement team member for the HCDPA. Yep. Hey. Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is how would that look? Like, who would it be from the team? And if we have anyone in mind?
Yeah, I mean, the team is, you know, it's a six-member team. There's me, there's Michael Schmiedes, there's Calvin Lewis, there's Saria McGriff, there's, I'm forgetting somebody. No. Kaya Payton? She wasn't part of our team.
We got Saria, Dan.
Dan Kent.
You, Michael.
Right. Louisa. Louisa and Dan Kent, I forgot. So, you know, yeah, so that's the team. Michelle is, I think, a post facto member of the team. So that could work as well. And so, yeah, how to select, like, a member of the team is, I don't know how that would exactly be done. But yeah. I would certainly potentially nominate myself. but also nominate Michelle, but also nominate others. So, I mean, I think it, yeah.
Yeah. So this would be looking into, I guess, next year.
Mm-hmm.
Continue next year as well?
HCDPA?
ADLN.
Oh, ADLN. Well, that's what we're just sort of talking about, is that although the grant has a end date, like the funding has an end date, that actually doesn't mean that the team has to have an end time. So,
is the team volunteers or do they get paid?
Volunteers.
Did you talk to each team to see if they member, to see if they want to continue working next year?
We haven't had that conversation at this point, but...
You should do that first, just in case, because you don't want to end up with all of them saying no.
Well, sure, but the team can change membership,
absolutely.
You know? So, but yes, definitely.
Just have to start off, so maybe you can start recruiting new members in case you know you're interested.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wait for the last minute.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, all for being late. I thought you were at the chambers, and I walked over there.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think there's also code that has to change, right? City code? About HCDPA membership?
I'm not sure.
No?
I'll look it up.
My one's right here, if you need to. Mm-hmm. I think I can look into that.
Cool.
Yeah, that can be more more time consuming than you expect having those kinds of changes to your founding documents. So that would be good to get ahead of too, I guess.
I mean, I guess one thing that we would want to say is, what you were asking Mayor Johnson is, how would this person be appointed? Like, who would somebody from HCDPA appoint a member of the team, or?
All of the logistics, if there was someone who was interested, how would we go about basically that process? If there's changes that we need to do in our bylaws, that should be stuff that we should all be researching now. We'll go forward. I think we just leave this as a reoccurring agenda item until we kind of get it ironed out.
Sounds good.
Maybe that's something we can talk about with Cheryl, potentially, to get her take on the legal question of, what we need to do with bylaws, if there's another, way of making that change.
Yeah, I can ask.
I move that we come to some kind of decision about this by October. I make that motion.
Second.
Thanks. I move that we make us take steps. Nervously. She giggled nervously.
Any other discussion? That item? All right. Next item is HCDPA properties for sale. One of the suggestions that Brenda had before she left was that we get an appraisal and sale 238 Columbia Street, seeing as HCDPA funds are very low, and this is one of the main ways we can kind of recoup some funds.
Uh, 238 Columbia.
Yes.
What property is that?
Is that the row houses, or what is that exactly, 238 Columbia? Because I can't
believe that is
top of my head. What is that?
It's the lot between the houses?
Yeah, it's the lot.
I thought they owned that.
No.
Oh, I think her suggestion was that we try to sell it to one of the owners.
Yeah, I know there was interest in the property owner by that property. I think they wanted to add on or do something to their property.
The Habitat for Humanity side or the other side?
No, it was the little, the other side that's kind of...
Who's that?
Can you turn it again?
Yeah.
And what side is he talking
about? The
one
about? To the left?
It's the one in between the houses,
yeah,
right?
It's in between the houses.
But it's split.
It's
split in between the houses. That
what?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that vacant lot?
It's a vacant lot.
Well, that's what we
were
assuming.
The entire
vacant lot, right?
And this is Habitat for Humanity, correct?
Yeah.
And then this is Mike's house, right?
Yeah.
And then so Mike wants that, or Habitat for Humanity wants that?
Maybe. Let me see it again. I don't remember exactly. I wasn't directly a part of the conversation, but I know one of the property owners used that and wanted to buy that lot to do something.
I would suggest selling that property to the Hudson Housing Authority. I think you all should consider that and think about it. It's the same. It would be as Habitat of Humanity. I mean, Habitat of Humanity, they create homes. And I believe a mortgage as well, and so forth. And Bliss Towers is in that position of creating homes for their tenants. And I think it would be a win-win. It's still in the ward and the community. And it's just making public housing not seem to be so confined as to one building. It can be spread out, and not just in the Second Ward, but throughout the entire city of Hudson.
Well, that is our goal. As Rebecca will know, our goal is to expand throughout the whole city, and we're willing to take on whatever property we can be given.
I don't know the size of the lot.
Yeah, that's what my question was just going to be, like, if it's large enough to build housing on.
Oh, it's definitely large enough to build.
Yeah, so, like, there's lots that we have looking to see like that, and where we would make it, like, a two-family home where someone's on the bottom or somebody's on the top, or we would even make it, like, a single-family home. So we've looked into lots that size to build on. So I know that we can do something with it. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm, like... I mean, I think it would be an interesting thing for HCDPA to take on as a exploration is whether the city could essentially develop like a model for an affordable four unit dwelling that could be like infill, you know, an infill dwelling that would like work with the city, you know. And that could be easily, like, basically, like, if we, because there's many different places where something like that could work, and if there was something that was developed that, like, had gone through a process with the city, with the public, with planning, with et cetera, that could be, you know, and that was made in such a way that it wasn't, that was economical. For developers, like, I feel like that would be, I don't know, an interesting way to go about it. So, like, it seems like that lot is, you know, because it's not right in between these two small houses, it would be problematic to make something really tall, you know, or even, like, more than...
I think just the whole structure of the entire block of houses, you know, all of you, take another look, besides on the... computer, I'm talking about in person.
Yeah.
And you can see the size of that lot. Mm-hmm. I walked through that lot plenty of occasions. It's very large. It's large enough to have that type of dwelling with a backyard and so forth.
Which type of dwelling?
So you just described a four-unit dwelling.
Okay, I didn't know if you meant that type of dwelling. Okay.
And it can be that or just what Vonda just described, a two-family home. In that area, in that entire block, that's how it's created, yeah. So to speak, of houses.
Yeah.
So, are we still discussing like having a partnership between HCDPA and HHA, where we can build affordable housing on like that partnership? Or is that still in the works? Are we still?
Yeah. I'll get to and the legal counsel update.
Okay.
Okay, is there any other discussion on this property? Because we are going to need to find some kind of funding for HCDPA, regardless of if we sell.
Well, I guess what I would propose, I mean, because we did for this property, is that like we did. You know, we did all vote that we, like, when we sell properties, it's in a manner that's in keeping with our mission. So that would, to me, seem to, like, indicate that we would be selling it to either an affordable housing developer or in some other way trying to develop it for affordability. So
I think it would, as I repeated so many times, that has been stated on the record, and I believe somebody had pulled it up, where this agency is supposed to be the sister agency to HUD. So I think it would be a great start and relationship to have that working, building affordable homes, apartments, not just in the Second Ward, but throughout the city, because we all know, we keep discussing about gentrification taking over, we keep talking about rents going up high, we keep talking about local people born and raised here moving out and not even able to come back to visit their loved ones at the cemetery. So why not do this? Why not have this partnership? And that can just be throughout the city and not just the Second Ward with public housing.
So do you think that it's so urgent that we just have to sell, or are we still able to piece all the land into?
Asking the board. I know we are. Like, it's urgent. It's definitely urgent, because we're going to have to pay for lawyers, we're going to have to pay for Sarah's time. So we are going to need.
So if we're paying for all of this, we want to guarantee that it's going to be a sale, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, but we need funds to keep the agency going as well.
Where do all of our funds come from? Is it just from selling property?
We also have funds from the anti-displacement grant. I don't know how historically things have gone, because there hasn't been much movement until last year, so.
Did it?
The displacement grant, that pays for the administration of the grant, and then most of it is granted out, basically. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So essentially, it's like a pass-through almost. It just pays for its own administration, essentially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So essentially, like, you just rely on the sale of property. We don't get anything from the city, for instance, right?
No.
There's also, like, loan. There's some outstanding, like, loan balances.
Right.
That I don't totally understand, just as a new person. But there are some, like, I thought there were also, like, occasional sporadic loan payments. But they're in the order of, it's, like, in the few hundred dollars, I think.
There's one that's out to Galvin Foundation from a long time ago that for some reason doesn't have like a, I think it has like a 15-year balloon something on it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've talked about trying to get them to pay that.
Did you have that conversation with them yet or no?
No. I feel like...
I've had that conversation with them multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's loved it.
It was like a wild goose chase of finding out, what the money was for, and since there's no timeline of when they have to pay it back, we haven't been able to come to any type of agreement.
And it's a relatively small amount of money, right? It's like $15,000
or
something?
No, it's like
$105,000.
Yeah,
oh.
It's in QuickBooks as loan receivable HRCC, and there's HRCC.
I think they would flip like 15.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah.
I mean, but we could add. Yeah. Sorry.
So
Galvin owes HDPA.
I think Galvin acquired something called HRCC and assumed
housing resources.
Columbia County. And then assumed the debt, and so they hold it. We hold a note for $105,000 outstanding, and that's
interesting.
Because housing resources, they had owed back taxes or something, right?
And it had to do, Brandon told me, with like under New York Scalera. I'm not sure when things were like all piled together. All the like housing agencies were
found
together and then disaggregated something in there.
I was like, who needs housing agencies? We'll just
talk to Scalero.
Oh, goodness.
Set up a meeting.
I should. What are you talking about?
That's what she's
doing. No, I mean, sure, I'll do. What am I going to, like,
I talk to him about the 105 and find out.
Oh, because he's on their board.
What they need to create that. What do you call it? What was the acronym?
Housing Resources Columbia County. But I think this is a known story, just no one has heard it.
I love how you think that I'm like a bulldog or something.
You are, Candy.
When you want to. Now we want you to.
Okay. I'm like the calling in the debt. Great. okay. So.
Is there any other discussion on property sale?
The question at hand, do we need to hire an appraiser for 238?
Yeah, we definitely.
And if we hire an appraiser, are we going to have them appraise all of our properties or just that one so we're not paying for each one?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do that. All of our properties appraised. We're also going to need title searches for, so I'll skip down to the legal counsel update. So Dan will be here at the next meeting. Him and his team have put together some ideals.
Dan Kaczynski.
So he's who we acquired for to represent HCPA on the partnership with HHA, and to look at like what's the possibilities as far as like moving land. So he said that we would have to do appraisals again. We would have to do title searches as well. I guess the previous administrations put out for title searches, but never paid the companies. So we are gonna have to start from scratch, but he has some ideas and suggestions to pitch to the board.
So this Columbia Street property we were just talking about, then that would be part of that whole review?
Yes, it can be, yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So that has to happen before we could determine how much to sell for, basically. Okay.
So the idea of HHA being a potential developer, like, or a co-developer, would be what we would be talking about. And then, I mean, it's interesting to think, because there's also a Habitat for Humanity that wants to, like, they want to do work in the city. I don't know if you've been hearing that at all.
No, I don't keep up with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, we've had meetings with Habitat for Humanity, and, I mean, and their interest, they have moved from, like, Habitat for Humanity used to only do either single-family dwellings or two-family dwellings, but now they're trying to develop, like, a larger, like a four-unit thing. So I guess I just want to put that out there that they have, like, as an organization, they have a strong desire to work in Hudson. So I think it's just, I don't know, interesting. Because also they have a certain, like, expertise in, like, they can, like, do, you know what I mean? So in terms of speed, like, getting stuff built and, you know, that could be...
We're in like such a better position than them though, because we can guarantee that affordable housing that goes by your income, and I don't know
much better.
I don't really know about the Habitat for Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a lot of family members that constantly get denied from them, so I'm not really.
And they started. They started work in Hudson and then they stopped and left. So that's where we were for many years. Like, when they started to build these homes on Columbia Street, you know, the people were getting excited thinking these were going to be homes throughout the ward and city, but it stopped there. Uh-huh. Everybody's trying to figure out.
But that's because the properties got given, you know.
We're discussing an empty lot that could have been possibly something for them to work on because they have houses that were already created mm-hmm. on that block and mm-hmm. then they just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And then this agency and other agencies was trying to figure out where are they, why did they stop, what's the plan. Now we have Hudson Housing Authority that's willing, ready and able. So let's focus on who's sitting at the table and not trying to find someone to bring at the table.
Yeah.
That's what I was
looking at. I knew there was a reason. I just didn't know what it was.
I will not stop saying over and over again, I did not ask to be here. So I'm here for a reason, and I want to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, none of us asked.
I was told it goes hand in hand, so there has to be a reason for that.
But that does move us to the HHA update.
Yes, HHA updates. As you guys know, or some of you guys probably don't know, we are currently looking for a new executive director. HUD is assisting us with that. They have someone in mind. She's on a two-week vacation. She's currently an executive director, I believe they said, in Albany. And she's going to be our interim, and then she's going to train like our permanent executive director, just to keep our ball rolling. so we don't have to halt on anything. They've been so good to us. We've not been meeting after meeting with HUD, and they are supporting us 100%. They also said to say thank you to you because we let them know we had a meeting with you, and you had said that you were on board, and they wanted us to say from them thank you. And we're also looking for legal counsel. So at this time, we are trying to work with our current executive director on getting a procurement for new legal counsel. And other than that, that's where we are. But we are truly blessed that it has not stopped anything that we are doing. It's sad that our executive director is leaving, but I know that we are going to get bigger and better. So that's where we're at now.
Super exciting.
It is very exciting.
Is there a timeline for the interim?
So we are hoping that we'll have one within the next 2 weeks in that place. Crossing our fingers. We've been working with Jacqueline from HUD, and she sounds pretty sure that we'll have one within the next 2 weeks. So I'm hoping that's real.
That's me. Should I just tell you guys what I did? Right? I should.
Yeah.
Branda gave me training in some of the like basic administrative things that we need to do. Though I feel I'm a super quick study, but some of the stuff around like. The past history, like the old business around like the appraiser and things like that, these sort of outstanding things that I've only been observing as the old Michelle. I'm murky on, so yeah, she didn't give me like the most complete digest of what like are the issues at hand are still like reverberating from this year, outside of what I already know about from working through the ABLN. So. I'll just, please tell me, please download into me, and just, yeah, feel free to tell me if I need to be moving on something. But from what I understand, my role is it's about 12 hours a month of, like, processing QuickBooks, doing a little research as needed, making sure the checks get paid, the bills get paid, dropping them off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
One of the... things that was ongoing that I don't think is on our agenda now is the property on Columbia, the community garden.
Oh.
Like we were having a whole conversation about that, and I don't know where that is now. Did she mention anything about that?
We didn't talk about that. She trained me for about 2 hours, and then she's available to me if I.
Yeah.
I know we were waiting for legal counsel. That was like the last. No, I'm sorry. We have
for the community garden.
Okay. Is that to set up the sealed bid process, or is that another that's unrelated?
I know, got a little confusing there, and so I guess we should look at the minutes from like two meetings ago.
I just remember that we were discussing possible sales, but in the meantime, letting use of community members to garden to feed their families. And then there was another discussion because it's already being used. By certain people, and it needs to be cleaned out so it can be utilized by more families. I don't know how they got a copy of the key, somebody, but we just was at the position where we weren't looking to remove it or lock the gates, so to speak, but just how to have an organization take over the process while this agency is doing the legal process. So in the meantime, while that's being taken care of, we're going to have Hudson Casper Housing Coalition working with Grow Black Hudson to clean and create vegetable beds and so forth in that location until it was a possibility of a sale.
Right.
That's where we were.
Okay. Wow. So
I'll add it to the list to for the attorney. And the next meeting we can kind of hash out a lot of these things. The attorney's present. All right. Any public comments?
Anyone on the
Hi.
Just to point out, Habitat did want to buy that piece of property at one point.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh,
then
I thought
they disappeared.
What happened?
Exactly, that's what I said. Then they disappeared.
I thought it was your opposition, Tiffany.
Of course, it's going to be now because
I. No, then.
Well, no, I supported it then.
Because at that point, they only wanted to put in two units, and that was rejected by the board.
Which makes sense, right? I mean, I think that's the what I'm getting from the organization is just that they're realizing that the two-unit thing doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Right.
You know? But thanks for the history.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion without provisions for me. I mean, it had to be nice.
Sorry
to
read.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. The opposition for me had to be a very good reason.